Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's bring all that excitement into the pew. Praise God. We're going to continue on in our service this morning. We're so glad that all of you are here. If it's your first time visiting with us, we would ask that you stop outside the doors at the Welcome Center. A few bits of information. We'd like to connect with you so we can be in touch with you. If you're joining us online, there's a bit.ly link on the screen that you can click on or copy and paste and go and do the same. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. Great. Praise God. As we give back to Him as He gives to us, we do that through so many different ways, giving of our time, our talent, and then opening our wallet and giving of our funds to support the work of the kingdom here on earth, supports keeping the lights on locally, the heat on, since winter is here, going to the mission field. That's where all these funds go. So thank you for giving back to the Lord. We have different ways that you can give. You can give online through the links shown. You can give in person in the offering boxes just outside the doors, or you can mail it in. You can send it from your bank, and you can use the Church Center app. We try to make it as easy for you as possible. Thank you for giving back to the kingdom. Praise God. This week is what? Thanksgiving week. Means a short week of school, right? Yes. A short week of work for some. Thanksgiving week. This Wednesday, we will have service. We're inviting you to come with a grateful heart as we express gratitude to the Lord. Gratitude to the Lord. This time, we think about Thanksgiving. A lot of times, it's Thanksgiving dinner that we think about, right? What are we going to have for dinner? The turkey, the ham, the rolls, the sweet potato casserole, the green bean casserole, the pumpkin pie, the pecan pie. All these things that we start thinking about. But I would challenge you this week to stop and remember what He's done for you. Stop and think of how good He's been to you. You know, sometimes it's really easy to get caught up in everything that's swirling around us, everything that has to happen. It's really easy to get focused on that. I was reminded of a time when I woke up late for work. This is when I lived in Mount Horeb and I had to drive to Madison and I had to park my car so I could get on the bus to make it to the hospital where I worked. And I was late, and I was so worried on the way there. And I do not like that feeling of how scrambled you are when you wake up, and you're just like, oh, what am I going to do? I got to go. Well, I got up and got ready in a flash and got out the door. And on the way there, I just could feel the anxiety. I could feel the restlessness. I could feel the frustration. And I don't know why, but I decided, you know what? Okay, it wasn't until I was on the bus. Let me back up. I was on the bus. I sat on the bus because I barely caught it, and I sat there, and I was like, oh, I did it. And then I thought, you know what? Rather than be frustrated, I need to reset my mind as I step into the office, and I began to say, Lord, thank you that you woke me up in just enough time. Thank you that you provided the vehicle that got me from Mount Horeb to Madison. Thank you for the parking spot that I needed so that I could catch the bus, and thank you that I had legs that could run and catch the bus at the last minute. And something shifted inside of me, and I went from being really frustrated and aggravated to saying, okay, it's going to be okay. And that's what Jesus offers us. So take some time this week. Enjoy the time with family. Enjoy the food. But stop and remember what the Lord has done for you. Looking ahead, December 15th, we have our Christmas program. Our kids have been working so hard. Practicing with Arian and Brandon. They've been doing a really good job with our teachers. We're really excited. So on December 15th, if you come at 11, you're going to miss it. So on December 15th, be here at 10 o'clock, because we'll have just the Christmas program that day. So be here for that. And then on December 24th, Christmas Eve, we will have service here at 5 p.m. So Christmas Eve service will be at 5 p.m., not 7, 5 p.m. So remember that. Stand with me this morning. We have a couple of prayer requests that have been brought to our attention. One of them is Robert Cortez. It looks like he had to have some heart surgery. And while he had surgery, he had a stroke. So we need to pray for his healing and that his appetite would be restored. Sharon, are you in the house? Right here. Okay, if we could have some ladies come back here behind Brother Brad Top and pray with Sharon. She's the one who submitted this prayer request. We serve a God who's able. He's able to intercede and to provide healing, and we're going to pray right now that he does that for Robert this morning. And then we also want to pray for Rebecca, Marvin's sister, a friend to many of us. She has thyroid cancer, and they have moved her surgery up, and it's scheduled for this Tuesday. So pray that the Lord would have his way on her and while she's in this surgery, that his hand would be upon the medical team, and that things can come out the best way possible. Any other needs, if you want to lift your hand, someone around you can pray with you. We serve a God who is able. We don't just pray out of practice. We pray because we believe that God answers prayer. He hears our prayer, and he desires to be in our lives, but we have to allow him in, and that's what prayer does. It invites him in. So pray with me this morning for these needs and for the rest of our service. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and your peace that is here this morning. Thank you, God, that you are on the throne, but you are also present here, that your spirit is moving and ministering amongst us already. God, we thank you for all that you've begun this morning, the transforming of our hearts and minds that has occurred in our classes. And God, we come before you this morning, and we bring you these needs, and we pray for Robert. God, we pray that your hand would be upon him, that you would bring a healing to his body as he recovers from this surgery and from this stroke. God, we pray that you would bring his appetite back, that your hand would be upon him. And Lord, we lift up Sharon to you and ask you to be strength to her, that you would lift up her heart and encourage her as she walks beside him in these moments. And Father, we thank you for your hand that has been upon Rebecca. And we pray as she goes into the surgery this week that you would guide the hands of her medical team. And God, we place all of this in your hands, and we ask you to do what only you can do, Jesus, that you would be with her and that you would be with them in this time. And God, every need that has been brought to you this morning, God, you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Though sometimes it's not the outcome that we thought we needed, we know that you are on the throne, and we know that you are working all things together for good. And Father, I pray that you would move and that you would minister this morning. And God, I pray that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified in all that we do today, that we bring glory and honor to your name because you are worthy, because you are on the throne, because you are a holy God, because you offer us newness of life. You offer us peace and hope and joy. And we thank you for who you are, and we give you praise, and we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
belong forever to the Lord. If you are in freedom, if you bear His name, sing a song forever to the Lord.
We'll sing the song forever.
I've been made free, and I am forgiven. 'cause your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name, it stands above them all.
Do you believe that this morning?
All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Your name,
your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all.
All
thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. His presence is here. we just spend a little more time in his presence, just a couple more moments, hallelujah. When you may not know what to pray, when you may not know what to do, when you may not know how that situation's going to work out, simply speaking the name of Jesus, something changes. Could we just, whatever it is that you may be facing, whatever it is that circumstance is, can we just call the name of Jesus over our lives right now, over our situations, whether you want to yell it out, whether you want to whisper it, however it is, let's just call out the name of Jesus right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We call your name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
There's a powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. I love feeling the presence of God. If you're a guest of ours today and maybe this is all new to you and you've never been in a service like this before, this is worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. Pouring out your heart, allowing the Holy Spirit to just move in. So many people today that I talk to, run into, are living such discontented lives, so unhappy. There's such a level of anxiety and fear in our world today. It's because of lack of the presence of Jesus Christ. I believe in these last days that the power of the Holy Ghost that you feel here today is going to sweep across this world. One last big sweep and move of the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus Christ is going to come back for his saints. You can be seated this morning. Thank you to our worship team. Such a beautiful, beautiful worship. Before we get started this morning, I want to acknowledge our church. We have started a number of daughter works, church plants, called various names, I guess, Bible study groups across the county. And also our furthest one that we have is in Janesville. We actually have a building in Janesville, and we have a team that's there getting prepared right now for morning, afternoon, early afternoon services. But we also work with a number of other churches. We've been connecting closer with Beaver Dam, with Brother Ogie that's there, and then also Brother Chris Jansen, who is in Waupun, who has been reaching out from Waupun. He went into Watertown and helped revive the church there in Watertown, get it back on its feet. And then also he's got a number of church plants in the area of Waupun, Horicon being one. I believe Mayville is possibly, I'm not for sure of all of them, but I know Juneau is in his sights and looking at planting a church there. He's already purchased buildings in three of these communities and starting Bible study groups and such. And I said all that to say that next week, December 1st, Kelvin and Brooke Wells, if they could just stand, they've been part of this congregation for a long time. They're going to be, I guess you could say, changing from Madison congregation. They're going to be going to Waupun and basing out of Waupun and helping Brother Chris Jansen plant a church in Juneau. Now, Kelvin and Brooke live real close to Juneau. It's just right in their neighborhood. And we are excited for them. Kelvin's been part of my life since he was born. And we've been neighbors and friends, and we've done a lot of things together, and it has been an honor. I just want to tell you, Kelvin, it's been an honor to be your pastor, but be a friend. And just because you're leaving bailing out on us here, running off for greener pastures, doesn't mean that we won't see you. We love you, folks. We love you guys. So next Sunday will be their last Sunday, and this all kind of happened. This has been in the works, just not for sure exactly when everything is going to fall into place, and everything's just kind of fallen into place. So continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for the church there in Waupun as they continue to reach out. Their endeavor is to plant churches closer to us, and we're moving closer to them, and we've got a whole section here in southwest Wisconsin that runs along Highway 19, Highway 26, all the way over to Janesville. So just a big triangle there, and we're just endeavoring to take and plant churches and reach this world for the gospel, one community at a time. So God bless them. We started a series last Sunday, and the series is titled Handling Holy Discontent. And we started off talking about the world we live in, where that people are very discontent in their jobs. If they're making $20 an hour, they want to make $40. If they live in a three-bedroom home, they want a four-bedroom home. If they got two-car garage, they want a three-car garage. If they've got a 16-foot fishing boat, they want a 20-foot fishing boat. If they got a pop-up camper, they want a motorhome. We live in a world where that we always want something better. And the world is seeking and looking for something better all the time. We look at cell phones. My wife and I, we recently went in, and I laugh about this because I tried to figure out how to use my phone last night to transfer some pictures, and I had to call Jessica, and she said, well, maybe John can help you. And I'm like, well, my other phone, I knew how to do it. This new phone, they're asking me all these different questions, and I have no idea what they're even talking about. So I'm probably like most of you here. I have thousands of pictures on my phone, and I don't know how to get them off. Anybody here have that same problem? You're going to admit that? It's all the older folks raising their hands, a few young. It's technology is constantly increasing. So last Sunday, we started this series. It's going to run right up to Christmas. We're talking about handling holy discontent. And we might could add to that title as we get closer to the holidays, closer to Christmas, handling holiday discontent, because we're going to get a little bit into that as we get closer. It's this time of year you go into the hardware stores and you go into the shopping centers and you go into the lumber yards, and what was lawn and garden equipment is now Christmas trees. And you have Christmas trees going up in July. You have Halloween stuff going up in August and September, long before those events are even on our calendars or in our radar. And it seems like this time of year, it's all sorts of family issues that begin to entangle us. It's this time of year where we start to talk about where are we going to spend Thanksgiving. Some of you may not even know where you're going on Thanksgiving because one family wants or part of the family wants you here and another part wants you there and you're not for sure where you're going to go. And then right after Thanksgiving comes Christmas. Most of us start to put up our Christmas decorations right after Thanksgiving. I just want to tell you that I am not putting up any Christmas decorations this year because I'm tired of putting up Christmas decorations. So what I did is, I got a Christmas tree in my office. It's got decorations on it from last year. I never took it down. I'm just going to move it to where I can see it and put batteries in the little lights so the lights come on. And I turn them on when I want to have Christmas lights. Now my granddaughter's coming over and going to help my wife decorate. I do like decorating. I do like decorations. I just don't like doing. How many of you are sick of untangling Christmas lights? Can I tell you the secret to that? Don't take them off the tree. It's that simple. We got two Christmas trees in our house. One of them's my wife's. One of them's mine. Mine stays Christmas all year round. You go in there in July and it's Christmas. My wife, she takes hers and she's ordered off of Amazon, which is a dangerous thing to get involved in. And she orders off Amazon, like when it's 4th of July, she puts red, white, and blue on it. And she puts butterflies for spring. And in the fall, it's got pretty leaves on it. So it's all dressed up like spring flowers right now because she's a little bit behind on her season. So we're going to go straight from spring flowers right straight to Christmas decor. But you know one thing that stays and it's a constant is those stinky, rotten Christmas tree lights that are always getting tangled up every time you try to take them off the tree. Leave them on. Leave them on. No more fights. No more discontent issues with Christmas tree lights and hot. Nothing to trigger you and set you off. Handling holiday holy discontent. We're going to start off reading from Philippians chapter 4. Most of all of our passages in this series are going to be from the book of Philippians. And Paul writes this church to the church at Philippi. Now, I don't know if you've ever really read Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. We're doing Romans right now in our Bible lesson. And Sister Jessica Rivas did a phenomenal job teaching this morning. So we're kind of covering Romans here on Sunday mornings, but you read in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians. You read all of those books, and these were letters that Paul wrote to churches, similar to Calvary Gospel Church. These were established churches. They had been in business, if you want to put it that way. They've been an established church, some of them for 20-plus years. And Paul is writing. So he says in Philippians chapter 4, he says, I'm not saying this because I am in need. So what he starts off and he's opening this letter up and he's saying, you know, I'm not going to say what I'm going to say because I need something. He had no immediate needs in his life. Now understand, when Paul wrote this letter, he was in Rome in a prison. And he's saying, I don't really have any issues or any needs right now, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I talked a lot about discontentment, and that's actually in our series title. In this whole entire book, Paul never uses the word discontent, but he makes reference to that many, many times. He says, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. He goes on and he says, I know what it is to be in need. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through some struggles and you know what it is to have a need. You know what it is to have plenty. Coming up on Thursday, we're going to have Thanksgiving and we're going to have turkey and we're going to have ham. And there's probably going to be sweet potato pie and pumpkin pie. And there's going to be all kinds of fresh breads. And there's going to be nice, there's going to be at our table, I'm hoping, I've been praying that there's going to be like cheesy casserole and there's going to be macaroni and cheese homemade and there's going to be desserts that my daughter makes so deliciously. I'm banking on this in faith, believing that we will have a table that will have plenty on it. No pressure, hon. I've never been to a Thanksgiving yet to where I've gone in and there's been one bun on the table and a turkey neck. That's all that could be salvaged, and two or three beans and a glass of water. I've never had a Thanksgiving where there hasn't been a table of plenty. Maybe you've been here and you have had Thanksgivings to where maybe you just had a grilled cheese sandwich. Nothing against grilled cheese sandwiches. It's not Thanksgiving, and you have your heart set on a turkey. Maybe you haven't been able to have that. But Paul is saying, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And he says, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hunger, whether living in plenty or in want. He's learned the secret. And what is that secret? The secret is all wrapped up in the word contentment. So last week we covered what is contentment. We talked about how I can be content. We found out that contentment is something that you learn. It's a learned process. And you could go back and listen to last Sunday online. We're going to start off today with the first point of our lesson is, where does contentment reside? Where does it live in a human body, a human person? We look at contentment and we find it's a learned process, and so we think if it's a learned process, it must reside in the mind. Contentment is of the heart. Contentment is a heart issue. Now I want to make something here to help you to understand this. When the Bible talks about the mind and the heart, and talks about the heart is wicked, who can know it? The mind and the heart are so closely intertwined and interconnected in Scripture that it's hard to say that it's a heart issue without saying it's a mind issue. All right? So understand this. When we sin, is it our heart that sins? We think about our heart. That's what pumps the blood in our bodies. Is that what sinning? When people say, oh, he's got a wicked heart. What does that mean? It really means that his thoughts, what he thinks. Oftentimes we connect the heart to the emotional side of humanity. Our emotions are actually in our brain. We talked about that a few months ago. So contentment is of the heart. Contentment is a heart issue. So today, if you're struggling with contentment and you're struggling with being content, and that you are on that discontented side of life where you're not happy with life, you're not happy in your marriage, you're not happy in your home, you're not happy in your job, there's something going on in the mind. Contentment isn't denying one's feelings about wanting and desiring what they can't have, but it exhibits a freedom from being controlled by those feelings. Sometimes we allow our emotions to get the best of us at times. I talked about this a few weeks ago when I had a brother come up to me after church, and he was very, very honest and sincere. He said, man, he said, you know, he said, I didn't realize that last week when you talked about things getting stirred up within us, I went to work and I had no idea my day was going to just like kind of take a nosedive, and I had a pretty rough encounter at work, and I was surprised how quickly within me emotions and anger rose up. We laugh about this. I laugh about it, about the driving down the Beltline and how that brings out the worst in everybody. Go to the shopping malls right now and look for that close parking place, and somebody beats you to it, and you've been waiting there for 2 minutes for that person to pull out, and you find out that there's something inside you that rises up. Contentment isn't pretending things are right when they are not right, but instead it displays the peace that comes from knowing that God is bigger than any of our problems and that he works them all out for good. That's why Paul could write in Philippians 4, 11 and 12 that, hey, you know what? I'm not in need right now. I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to be hungry, and I know what it's like to have plenty. Contentment isn't a feeling, a well-being contingent on keeping circumstances under our control. Contentment is not based on external circumstances, but rather on an internal source. Contentment is of the heart. The majority of people in our society, when we look at our society today, and I used to hate reading, and I still struggle with it sometimes, reading newscasts and news blogs and such, but sometimes I like to just, if I'm putting together a message and I'm talking about here contentment and discontentment, you can get a real feel for what society is thinking by just reading what people are saying, what people are thinking. We live in a world today where that at our fingertips we can take, and if we're mad about something, the whole world can know in a matter of just a few minutes. You know, President Biden can have a bad day. Yes, he's an aging president. He can stumble and he can fall on as he's exiting a stage. And years ago, you wouldn't even see that or know that. But now the whole world knows that the president stumbled and fell. It's absolutely. I shake my head sometimes. Because society, it's up and it's down. Society, when you look at the majority of people, if we wanted to compare them to something, they're like a thermometer. They're up and then they're down and they're up and they're down and they're up and they're down and they're up and they're down. And they suffer from virtual happiness. Everybody wants to be happy virtually. Everybody wants to put a good face together on social media. Everybody wants to be something that's going to impress everybody else. Because they're not content with who they really are. And what they are and what life, they're not happy in the state that they are in. And this bleeds in to the church. It's a counterfeit high and it quickly evaporates. They hope that the next superficial satisfaction will last. I just want to tell you that eternal happiness is like a big old ball of cotton candy. Have you ever been to the fair? Have you ever gone to a fair? Remember years ago here we used to have a lady that was one of our secretaries at church named Judy Greeley, and she would take John and Steve and I to the Dane County Fair every year. And we'd go to the Dane County Fair and she'd let us get cotton candy. And you would take that cotton candy, and typical boys that we were, we would wad it up in a ball. And you could take that big old huge foot and a half rounded fluffy ball of cotton candy and wad it up till it was no bigger than a tennis ball. And would bite into it like an apple. And you get that in your mouth and it's like there, and it's like you don't even get to chew it up and it's gone, Brother Dennis. And we look at life, it's sweet for a moment, and then it dissolves an instant later, just like a ball of cotton candy. You see, there's a reason why Proverbs states that life is but a vapor. It's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. It's hard for me to believe at times that I'm standing up here, I'm 62 years old. Some of you are giggling at that because you're older than that. Sorry about that. It's really not my fault. I'm looking out here. My daughter is in her 40s. I'm not supposed to say that. I'm already getting that. Hey, she looks good for 40. You're blessed, Marvin. Can you believe this, that this February, Sister Lois is going to be 70 years old? She don't look 70. All of you are looking at me, but you're going to go to the bowling alley because we have the bowling alley in McFarland rented on that day for open bowling for the whole church. And there's going to be a big sign up that says 70. So I'm just kind of laying the groundwork before then. Smoothing it off a little bit so she's ready. But look at my grandkids. It just seems like just yesterday they were just little tykes running around the house. Now Ava, she's 15 and she's starting to drive. Can you believe that? And Cole, 13, in the back seat telling big sister what she's doing wrong. Here today, like a thread of cotton candy, it's here and it's gone forever. But if a person who has learned to cultivate a deep down contentment, you don't have to be like a thermometer, up and down, like the world, constantly looking for that next satisfaction, but you can be consistently joyful right where you are. Most people thirst for what Apostle Paul had, enduring contentment, deep down, soul satisfying contentment, that kind of contentment that can only come from within. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of you, not what's going on outside of you. Brother Repka, you can have a whirlwind swirling outside of you, and you can have peace and contentment inside of you because contentment is of the heart. It has only one source, and that source is found in a soul-satisfying relationship with our Heavenly Father that cares for us and promises to meet us right where we are. Contentment is of the heart, but contentment is also of the will. Contentment is a matter of accepting from God's hand. Listen to me. This is a very, very important component to this. Contentment is a matter of accepting from God's hand what he sends, and that is the struggle for most of us. What he sends, because we know that he's a good God and he wants good gifts to his children, we accept, therefore, from God's hand what he gives to us. All that is needful, he will supply. Even pain and suffering seemingly cannot be corrected. That cannot be corrected. He can redeem. So if you're suffering and you've gone through pain and you're trying to endure, God will redeem that. But understand something. If we fail to surrender our will to him, we will forever be discontent. Our freedoms will be suffocated and will be in bondage to our desires, and our relationships will be poisoned with jealousy and competition, and potential blessings will be sacrificed. Discontentment has the potential to destroy our peace and rob us of joy, make us miserable, and tarnish our witness, and we dishonor God. If we proclaim a Savior who satisfies, and then we live a life of discontentment. So when we're witnessing to that person at work and we're telling them how great of a God is, and we're telling them all about, and we're discontented about our relationship with God, we need to be careful. Contentment doesn't come from reaching our goals or having success financially in our work, that dream house or vacation or whatever that you had hoped for. It's quite simple. Contentment comes from connecting with God, with family, and with friends. I look at my life right now. I look at my life over the years, and the times I've been most discontented in my life is when I was disconnected from God, and thus I was disconnected from family, and I was disconnected from friends. So discontentment comes from connecting with God, connecting with your family, connecting with your friends, having a positive perspective on things, decreasing stress in your life. Be thankful for what you have. That decreasing stress in your life. I've struggled with some physical issues. One of them, I had a few small strokes a few years back, and it was really an eye-opener for me when I met with the doctor, and then the doctor, they have kind of a therapist that comes in, and they sit down with you, and she was a great lady. She attended Mount Zion Baptist Church, and I said, oh, I'm very familiar with the church there. I know a number of people that go there, and she said, so you're a pastor? And I said, yes, and she just looked at me, and she said, Pastor, she said, I just wanted... She'd asked me about my life, grandkids and stuff, and she said, you know, I'm just going to tell you something. You're going to have to learn how to rid your life of stress, or you will never see your grandchildren get married. I got to put it in perspective that what is it in my life that's more important than my life itself? I know Scripture says about laying down your life for a brother. This is not what we're talking about. We're talking about stressing, decreasing things in our life, being thankful for what we have, not always having to have something better, knowing that you and I are uniquely created and loved by a God that will always have our backs, connecting with God daily by prayer and reading His Word, and taking time to connect with others. I hear this many times. Well, you know, I just can't connect with people at church. Well, when's the last time you talked with someone at church? Well, I really don't talk with people. I'm kind of introverted. I want to challenge you today. Get out of that introverted state of mind and go up to somebody and say, hello, I'm Roy Grant. I'm glad to meet you. I've been coming to this church for 50 years. I want to let's go out for lunch. Let's go out, have breakfast. Take the time to connect with others. We were not meant to go through this life, this spiritual walk with God by ourselves. God has given us a family. He's given us each other. We were designed to need God. And when God in the garden realized, understand that he realized that his relationship with Adam wasn't enough. Think about that. Sometimes we say, oh, all I need is a relationship with God. I don't need anybody else. God thought differently because he said, I need to take and give Adam someone that he can talk to every minute of every, somebody he can relate to, someone he can touch physically. God gave him Eve. So God didn't. He designed us. Being a lone wolf thinker and living your life as a lone wolf, you don't need to. And take the time to build those relationships. God designed us to be in community and focused on him. Be in the moment. We are so focused on the future. I talk to people sometimes that are so focused on the future that they seldom enjoy the moment. Anxiety is caused by fear and trying to be in control. If you try worrying and being focused on the present at the same time, you're going to discover that, you know what, it doesn't work. I'm frustrated all the time. There's always a level, something stirring. So appreciate what you have, where you are, and who you are with. Think positive. Our brains are amazing. We get to decide what we think. You can sit here today and you can listen to a message and you can decide how you think about the message. Man, Pastor, he sure does use his hands a lot. I wonder if he could talk if he had his hands tied behind his back. All of the things that you think. You're counting the light bulbs. There's 24 spotlights over my head. They're there because I know it, because I've counted them many times. We have 5 lights out in the church because we're working on LED replacements. Don't worry about it. You can stop counting them. We count stuff. We count the panels on the walls. Our brains are amazing. We can sit there talking with somebody and shaking our heads like that and walk away and say, I have no idea what they were talking about because I was thinking about what kind of tires I'm going to put on my car. But if you're constantly worried, think about this. If you're constantly worried and you have a negative outlook, your brain releases stress hormones. This is how God created us, that flood into our bodies, and they could do physical damage to us in areas that are vulnerable. These stress hormones are designed to be released in fight or flight situations, and we get into a pattern of this every day. Every day becomes a fight or flight. And the stress. On the other hand, when you think positive and grateful, relaxed, and limited worry, your brain releases a different type of hormone that brings peace, makes you feel good, contented, and health. Paul says in Philippians 4:7, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. So that means for Pastor Roy, Christmas lights stay on the tree all year long. Find ways to relax. Take care of yourself. I used to think relaxing was being lazy. I used to think taking a nap was like a waste of time, except for Sundays. That's pretty much been ingrained into us by these two over here. If we didn't take Sunday afternoon naps, yeah, it was a rough afternoon. We took naps. Sometimes, occasionally, we would sneak out the window, but we knew we had to be back before Mom and Dad were going to go into church for choir practice. Find ways to relax. Take care of yourself. Be transparent. Don't let things bottle up inside. Share your feelings with someone that you can trust and that cares about you. Be grateful for what you have. When we're so focused on what we don't have, we lose the ability to be grateful for what we do have. We can stand this morning. Trust God and appreciate who He made you to be and who He's put in your life. I am so thankful today for the people that God has put in my life. You know who those people are? Every last one of you. Every last one of you has made an impact on my life in one way or another. Trust God. Appreciate. He has a plan and he has a purpose for you. And we are all uniquely designed by God. And no one can fill the spot that God designed you to do. Think about that in Scripture. We think about all the great men, the great women God talks about in the Scripture. Nobody filled their spot. Gideon didn't say, I can't do it. No, Gideon, he did it. Nobody filled his spot. Nobody filled Abraham's spot. Nobody filled David's spot. They stepped in, they stepped up, they stepped into that purpose. We cannot depend upon contentment to fall into our laps. We can't get contentment because, well, I finally got my degree. I'm content now. I'm finally making the kind of money that I've always dreamed of making. I'm content now. Listen, God bless me. I had a plumbing business for 5 years, and in that 5 years, I made more money than I've ever made in my life. If I'd have stayed in that business and God would have continued blessing, it's just like, wow. I can't believe this. I would no doubt today be well over a millionaire. I'm not saying that bragging or boasting. It's just the reality of it. You say, well, where are you now? Well, I'm not there. I decided that even though you can make a lot of money, you can have your own business. I had 4 years of college education, trade school. But I still wasn't content in life. There was still a level of discontentment there. You see, because I kept looking for contentment and stuff. I kept looking for contentment in, man, look at how much money I could make next month or this month. You see, contentment doesn't fall into our laps from any of that or status, but contentment arises from a divine source that money and material possessions simply cannot purchase. You see, contentment is hidden from the casual observer. You say, what's the secret to contentment? The secret to contentment is remembering the cross of Calvary. Paul writes in Philippians 1, verse 21, he says, for me, living is Christ, but dying is gain. The cornerstone of commitment is the cross of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Because of the cross, we are free from the chains of sin. Because of the cross, today my salvation is secure. I have no doubt in my mind that because of the cross, my salvation is secure. Because of the cross, my relationship with God is possible. And because of the cross, our future in heaven is guaranteed. Think about that for just 1 minute. If that wasn't enough, If it wasn't for the cross, there would be no salvation and there would be no heaven. Our future is guaranteed because of the cross. What else really matters? When you think about it, Brother Bronker, what else in life really matters outside of the cross and our relationship with God? Contentment. Discontentment. How do we handle holy discontentment? As our worship team begins to sing, I just want to open up this altar for you to come this morning, give you an opportunity. Perhaps you've had a discontentment, a period of discontentment in your life right now where you're not happy. You're struggling. You can't seem to get your way through it, push your way through it. I just want to challenge you this morning to say, God, I need divine help. This is a heart issue. It's something going on that I'm thinking, my heart, my mind. God, I just need your help. I just need your help. I need the help of my brothers, my sisters. Maybe you're trying to make a major decision in your life and you're struggling with that. You go to bed at night and your mind, you go to bed thinking one thing and you wake up thinking something else. Just want to challenge you this morning. Come have a chat with God about it. Come talk to God. God bless you this morning.